Thank you for joining me as we are continuing with the message of grace in today's broadcast of The Love Way. Man, God is such a powerful God. He's such a loving God. And His heart for us is that grace and peace and love will be multiplied in our lives. Amen. God is love. God is grace. God is mercy. And when grace, mercy and peace and God's love is multiplied in our lives, God is multiplied in our lives. So never be afraid when you hear the message of grace, because grace will only multiply who God is in your life. Man, it is such an awesome message. It is so liberating. If I think of where I started off, you know, and when I got saved and fell under the law and under the law tried to serve God, and how I experienced defeat and condemnation and all those type of things when I was under the law, and how I feel today being under grace, man, I'm set free. You know, when I was under the law, I would always say, well, things aren't working out for me, and then try and do introspection, looking into my life, into my history, into why things are the way they are. And all that happened was I became more sin conscious. And the more sin conscious I became, I just fell into a deep hole. And that's exactly the same in the lives of millions of people today. I want to tell you, the more you are under the message of behavior modification and the message of do's and don'ts, the more you will fall into a deep hole, and depression and anxiety and fear and unbelief and all those type of things will start to rule in your mind, and you will be afraid of even reading the Bible. When you go to church, you will just say, well, another thing that I must do for God. I've seen so many people when they go to church and they hear behavior modification teaching, they feel better for a while because they think, I've made a decision to live right today, and next week or by Wednesday when they see I don't get it right, they feel, oh man, I'm such a sinner, I need to go to church on Sunday to be helped again. And that's the reason why many people go to church today. People go to church because they are afraid that they will not live holy enough and they need advice. A lot of people go to church today because they are seeking salvation. It's not because they are saved. It's because they are seeking salvation. Every time they come to church, another thing is told that they must do in order to get their life right. And then they think, well, I've received the answer, because if I just do this thing right, then my life's going to change. Then they try to do it right. They don't get it right and feel condemned and feel like a sinner, and then seeking another conference, seeking another teaching or seminar or tape or CD or something to change their behavior, not knowing that that's the very thing that's killing them. But let me tell you, the only way unto salvation is by grace. The Bible says, by grace we have been saved through faith. And we have got access into this grace by faith, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. The only access you will have into grace is by faith, by believing what God has freely given. If we are not for grace, we are against grace. Jesus said, those who are not for me are against me. And He was the one that introduced grace into this world. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, but the law came by Moses. So grace and truth did not come by Moses. It's not by the law. You cannot even think that you can mix the law and grace. You know, I'm just thinking of the Mount of Configuration, where Jesus was standing upon the mountain, and there was the law and the prophets. And Jesus was representing the Word of God. You got the Word of God, you got the law, and you got the prophets. And Peter said, let's build a house for the law, for the prophets, and for the message of grace, because grace came by Jesus Christ. The Bible says he said, let's build a house for each one of these, not knowing what he is saying. And so many times we are like that today. We don't know what we are saying. If we are saying, let's build a house for the law, let's build a house for grace, and let's build a house for the prophets. No, let's build only a place in our hearts for Jesus Christ. He has built His own house already, and that is you. Man, isn't that awesome? The more we get into the message of grace, the more we will find life in our lives. If we are not pro-grace, if we are not for grace, we are against Jesus Christ. as easy as that. And I don't want to condemn anybody that's listening to this message. I'm just saying it the way the Bible teaches it. And you've got an opportunity to become full of God's grace. You can make your preaching full of grace. You can get your life into grace. Get out of all this behavior modification, do's and don'ts type of a mentality. Thinking that you have not qualified, thinking that you must still qualify. Man, you can repent of that. Get out of that. God will bring a change into your life. Let's just have a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, Peter says, everybody that has obtained the same faith or the same value of faith as what they had through the righteousness of God, grace and peace be even multiplied unto you. So what Peter was actually saying was, I need to know more of God's grace. I need to know more of God's peace. I need to know more of God, because the more I know of who He is and what He's done, the more grace will be multiplied in my life. And grace is God's influence in your life. God living in you and through you. So Paul said, Peter said, I want more of God living in me. How will I get more of God living in me? By knowing more of what He has freely given unto me. Now God lives in you in His fullness. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus bodily, and we have His fullness. So the fullness of God is in you. And the fullness of God will manifest in you as you see more of what He's done for you freely. And the fullness of God will manifest in you through grace. So never oppose grace. Never stand opposite grace, saying, well, you know, I believe that grace people use as a license to sin, and I don't want to have a lot to do with this license to sin thing. I believe that we must obey and live a holy life. Yes, obedience was needed for holiness. I believe that. As long as we don't want to connect obedience directly to our works, but as long as what we connect obedience to the works of Jesus, and then righteousness will be imputed unto us. And as when righteousness is imputed unto us, it means the nature of God is imputed unto us, and then we live like God. So I'm not for living a life of sin. It's because I'm against living a life of sin. Because God is against living a life of sin, that we are preaching grace. Because there's no other way unto salvation, being saved from your sins, but by grace. Amen. Now the word obtain means, when it says that we've obtained faith, means we have been given it by a divine lot freely. Just given freely. Now let's look at that. What he was actually saying was that by the righteousness of God, I have received faith. By God being in the right place where He ought to be, and being as He ought to be, and Jesus being in the right place and as He ought to be, we have received faith for free. So faith in your life is all based on who God is and what He's done. And that is so exciting to me, because that means I will always have great faith. I will always have wonderful faith, most powerful faith. And what I do in this life is I want to stay in that faith by staying in the message of God's grace. We must realize that Jude said that the people, when they were led out of Egypt, if they didn't live by faith, after that they were killed. And Paul said the very same thing. When they lived by faith, it was life unto him. But when he started to live by the law again, he died. He says, I was alive without the law once, that is salvation. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So what we want to do is stay in the message of what Jesus Christ has done for us freely, so that grace can be multiplied unto us. Why? Because through grace is life. Through grace is salvation. Through grace is healing. Amen. Now let's go to Romans chapter 9. We're going to read there from verse 8. It says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So he says here, speaking of the Jewish nation and Israel, it says here that those people who are of the flesh, meaning in this context of Romans chapter 9, the physical Israel, the 12 tribes, he says those people, according to the flesh, are not children of God. If you think that because you are a Jew, you're a child of God, I want to tell you something, you are not. It is for those who are of the promise. He says, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now verse 10, verse 9. For this is the word of the promise, that at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, and the original language there means loved less. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. Man, isn't this powerful? This is one of the most awesome pieces of scripture in the Bible. And I want to connect this with 1 Peter, because he says here that we have obtained faith. We have received for free faith. How have we received it for free? According to Romans chapter 9, it says here when God spoke to Moses, he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will bless those who I want to bless. And the context here is that God decided to bless a man not according to his works. Hallelujah. And if you think that you will receive your blessing according to works, I've got news for you. God's going to frustrate you. The gospel will frustrate you. If you think that it's by your works and by what you must do for God, the message of grace will be so frustrating. You'll always have a struggle in your mind. You'll always have a struggle in your heart. It will frustrate you whenever somebody says God is a God of love. The message of forgiveness, will always frustrate you. It will frustrate you. You will say, man, I don't want to hear of this forgiveness thing. I don't want to hear God just blesses for free. You will smile and say, yeah, God is gracious, God is gracious. But in your heart, you will feel, man, this thing doesn't make sense to me. Now, what he says here, he says that God made a promise. A prophetic word was given that the elder will serve, or the older will serve the younger. And it was not according to works. It was given while they were in the womb of the mother. Why was it given like that? So that it will not be of works, but it will be of him that calls. Hallelujah. So righteousness, faith, all those things are not of you. It is of the one that calls. He called you unto righteousness. Hallelujah. He decided to call you righteous before the foundation of the world. Before you've done anything good, before you've done anything bad, he decided that he would take away all your sin and declare you righteous. And if you can believe that, you will be righteous. You will find righteousness in your life. And let me read this piece again. It says, what shall we say then? Is the unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So this message that says that God chooses to bless you for free might look as if God is not righteous, because one person lives holy and righteous and does everything right, and he will receive the same reward and the same blessing as the one that just believes on Jesus. It sounds unrighteous with God. Then he says it's not like that. There's no unrighteousness with God, for God long ago already said that I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion whom I will have compassion. So I want to tell you that God has chosen you to have mercy on you and to have compassion on you. Hallelujah. So then, it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs. Let me tell you, mercy in your life, to be treated better than what you deserve, is not of you. It's not of you, I want to serve God, oh, I hunger for God, oh, I'm going to do the right thing for God. It's not of you. It's not of him that wills, or of him that runs. Man, it's not of he that says, I want to, and even doing the right thing. That does not impress God, and that's not the deciding factor for your blessing. God doesn't look at your willpower. I want to. Oh God, I seek. Or no, he doesn't look at that. That's not what this made him decide to bless you. Before you were hungry for God, before you were seeking God, before you were studying the scriptures, before you were saying, man, I don't want to live a sinful life. I want to live right. Oh, man. I want to live righteous. Before all of that, he decided that you are the blessed. Hallelujah. It's not of you. And the only seeking, the seeking just got you to a place where you discovered grace. And when you discovered grace, that grace multiplied in your life and you started to experience the blessing of God. Never be confused. It's not of you. It is of God. He decided on your behalf to bless you. He decided on behalf of man to be obedient. He decided on behalf of man to declare you righteous and to make you in his image. You are a victim of the goodness of God. If you can use words like that, just so you can understand that better. Man, that's what he says. He says, and let me read it again, and I want this to sink into your heart. He says, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. Hallelujah. It says here so clearly that the promise was made to Isaac, to Jacob, when he was still in the womb, before he did anything right. So I want to tell you, your blessing has been channeled towards you before you were born, before you were obedient, before you sinned. Your obedience and your sin has got nothing to do with what God has got for you. Hallelujah. And Peter was writing that very same thing. He was saying, I write unto everybody that has obtained, received by a divine lot, freely received faith. Man, it has been decided by God that you will have faith. And if you are a sinner today in the world, I want to tell you, the only reason why you don't have faith in your life is because of a great effort you are putting in with, man, great effort, your hard work not to have faith. It is so easy to have faith. It's been divinely given unto us. It is you need to put in a lot of effort not to have faith. You need to put in a lot of effort not to be holy, because the Bible says God made us holy. God made us righteous. It's easy to be like God. He made us like that. He's given it divinely unto us. And then he says, I want grace and mercy to be multiplied unto you through acknowledging what God has done. Now, the grace of God is this influence. The grace of God is what is freely given unto you. Now, that will be multiplied unto you by acknowledging God. So many times we want to acknowledge ourselves. I acknowledge I must do this for God. Man, stop that. Stop there. Acknowledge what God's done for you. Acknowledge what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you'll find the kingdom of God coming into your life and manifesting in your life. The more you are acknowledging what God has done, the more you are acknowledging what Jesus has done, the more what God has done will influence your life. And you will easily live righteous. You know, I've heard people say, we must be careful of this easy faith preaching. Man, let me tell you, I'm not careful of that. I indulge into that. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, it's easy for me to believe. It's easy for me to live righteous. It's easy for me to preach the gospel. It's easy for me to go and pray for the sick and see them healed. It's easy for me to prosper. It's easy for me to lay down my life for the kingdom of God. It's easy for me to walk in holiness. It's easy for me to be a good husband to my wife. It's easy for me to be a good father to my children. It's easy. Do you know why? Because God lives through me. I cannot do it by myself. Amen. And you can have that very same life. It is for you. Amen. Let's quickly get back into 2 Peter. And let's continue, because this is so powerful. It says there, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, this is verse 2, through the knowledge of God and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the acknowledgement of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Let me read it again, because it's so powerful. It says, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. Faith has been given to you divinely by God. By His right standing, faith has been given to you. And I want to tell you, by His right standing, righteousness has been given to you. By His right standing, peace has been given to you. And a lot of things which we're going to look in today, if we can't get into it today in the next session. It says here, whereby are given unto us. It says, according to His divine power, verse 3, has been given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. By His divine power. What is His divine power? It is His grace. The word grace means it's the divine influence in your life. His divine influence upon your heart. It says, by His grace, let me put it that way, it has been given unto us all things that pertains unto life and godliness. By grace. If you're against grace, you are against everything He has given for you to be godly. And you are like the Jews of old and a lot of people today, working up your own righteousness, being ignorant of the righteousness of God that has been given unto you for free. Man, if you want to search me, if you want to check me out, check me out. One thing we must do, if you want to check out the life of another person, if you want to see if he's holy or not, just bring God into the equation as well. And let's ask God the truth about that person, and you'll hear what He says. And that's the truth. And I'm not willing to live by the lie. I'm only willing to live by the truth. And I encourage you to start to live by the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God, which is His view and opinion about you, which is His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, that is so powerful. Verse 3, according to His grace has been given unto us all things that pertain unto life, this life, what you need in this life, and godliness, through the acknowledgement of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And by grace are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust or desire or want. So what does He say? He's saying here clearly, He says that by grace has been given unto us a divine power that is enough for everything that pertains to this life and unto godliness. By grace it's been given. And then by that grace has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by the promises we might be partakers of the divine nature. So let me tell you, by works you will never be a partaker of the divine nature. By you trying to obey do's and don'ts in the Bible, you'll never be a partaker of the divine nature of God. Only by grace will you be a partaker of the divine nature of God. That's why, man, Peter writes, he says, grace be multiplied unto you. Why? Because then divine nature will be multiplied unto you. Power of God will be multiplied unto you. And you will walk in the abundance of the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. Let's read it again and then we're going to pray. It says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? And through what? Through the knowledge of Him. Through His knowledge that has called us to glory and virtue. He's called you to glory and virtue. And everything was by promises, and by those promises, remember what we read there in Romans chapter 9, it says that it is not by you, the way you run, but by the promise of God. It's by His mercy. It's not by your obedience. It's not by your sin or no sin, but it's by the promise of God. By God's promise that He said in Jesus, I'll make them righteous. I'll give them a new heart. I'll make a new man in Jesus Christ. They will be trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. By all those promises, you will have the divine nature of God. Man, isn't that awesome? Father, I pray for every person that has listened to me, and this is what I speak over them. Grace be multiplied unto you, peace be multiplied unto you, and may you have an enlightened mind to understand the message of God's unconditional love. Amen. If you've got any prayer request or any praise report, just send it to the number on the screen. And remember, our ministry products are available for a donation of any amount. God bless.